been providentially brought here to Faith Baptist Church. I don't believe it was by any accident, so you are here by divine appointment, and so we praise the Lord for that. But if you're here, I am not omniscient, so I don't know. If I don't know you, I don't know you. So I want to encourage you to take a little card in front of your pew, fill it out. There are offering boxes in the back on your way out. Drop that information card in that box, and we'll be in contact with you. It just allows me to know who you are, when you were here, and how I can get in contact with you so we can share a little bit more about who we are here at Faith Baptist Church. And with that being said, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're going to continue in our study in John chapter 14. And our desire is, through the preaching of the Word, that the Father would show us Christ. That is our endeavor. I pray every time we open up the Scriptures, whether it's in personal Bible study and devotion, whether that is on a Wednesday night Bible study or in your Sunday school, I pray that our main motivation is to see Christ in Scriptures. Sometimes we're looking for answers in the Scriptures. Sometimes we go to the Scriptures to find comfort, to find peace, to find out what do we do about a job change or something in the family or a plethora of things that we can go to the Scriptures for. And we're trying to find all the answers, but our main motivation, our one endeavor is to see Christ. We come to Scriptures because in Scriptures we see Jesus, and in Scriptures the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father. So we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 14, and we're going to read down through verse 21. But we'll just be covering verses 15 through 20 and maybe 21 this morning. But let us read our verses here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known the Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and you hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you, the King James says, comfortless. Other translations use the word orphaned there. I will not leave you comfortless, or I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you live also. And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. You know, as we look here in our verses before us, and again, I know it's just a quick recap, but the disciples are troubled. They're troubled by what Jesus was declaring to them, what he was revealing to them about going to the cross. And here, Thomas and Philip, they kind of interject as Jesus is explaining things to them. And because they're questioning, they're troubled, they're worried, they want to know what's going to happen after that, what's going to happen to them. And Jesus is comforting their hearts by these deep, abiding, eternal truths that are promised in Christ alone. And so he shares these things with his disciples so that in time, when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in them and makes all things known to them, they're going to remember what Jesus said to them, and it's going to be like this aha moment. Now I understand. I don't know if you remember that time or not, but I can remember wanting to know what the Bible really meant, what it said. I can remember being a young man reading the scriptures and really having no idea, just reading a bunch of words about Jesus and the things that Jesus said and not really understanding the significance of them, not really understanding the eternal implications that were contained in the scriptures. But there was a clear point in time in my life that when I began to read the scriptures, it's like a light came on. It's like something made me be able to understand what the scriptures meant, what they said and what they pointed to. Maybe you've had that moment in life. If you're a believer, you should. You should have that time in your life where the scriptures are just illuminated in such a way that you have that aha moment. The disciples and the followers of Christ are going to have that moment when the Holy Spirit comes. But Jesus here, as we look at our text this morning, Jesus says there in verse 13 to his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, he says, that will I do. Again, I believe here Christ is the one that's actually accomplishing the work. He says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the purpose, is to glorify the Father, and so that the Son also is glorified. And again, he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, what does Jesus say? I will do it. How is Christ going to do that? Well, we're going to see this again. He's like, I will do it. I will do it. And then he comes to verse 15, and he says, if you love me. Now, that word if, two letters, but such a significant word in scriptures. If you love me, then. If you love me, what does he say? Keep my commandments. How is that possible? How are we to keep Christ's commandments? How are we to express our love for Jesus in that way? Well, first of all, we see here Jesus says that you are to keep my commandments. Jesus is showing that he has the authority to command these things and to show how we are to live and how we are to obey Christ. But what are these commandments that he's saying, if you love me, keep these commandments? What are these commandments? He doesn't really give an outline of these commandments here in our text before us this morning. What are the commandments that we are to obey? Well, it's all that Christ has said up to this point, all that he has commanded. Here we see also in Mark chapter 12, though, beginning in verse 28, one of the scribes came to Jesus, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, there are no other greater commandments than these. Then again in Matthew 22, verse 40, Jesus says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the things that we are called to do. Now let me ask you this, have you loved God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? We fail to do that every day. We have a desire to do that. We should, as believers, of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, have a strong ambition to love God with every fiber of our being. But on a daily basis, we fail to do that. Now, let me ask you this. Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? You may ask yourself, well, who is your neighbor? Well, we know what that. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. Those whom you've come in contact with, the least of these. So let me ask you this. Have you loved your neighbor as you have loved yourself? We haven't. We fail to do that on a daily basis. It is difficult to love those within our local congregation as we love ourselves. We love ourselves so much that we worry about our problems, about our wants, about our desires, that many times in our life we neglect to care for the very brothers and sisters in our church. But yet, here Christ says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Aren't these two commandments here, shouldn't this be something we should be obeying? But yet we fail daily. How are we to love God? How are we to love others? How are we to keep these commandments? You know, we know what James says. Faith without works is dead being alone. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There should be some concrete evidence that you do love Jesus. There is a striving for holiness. There is a striving for godliness. There must be a striving to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, even though you failed to do it. There should be an active participation in loving your neighbor as yourself. These are all evidence that you love Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Here, Jesus says, we're to apply this to one another. He told his disciples there in John 13, 33 and 34, or verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In verse 35, by this shall you know that you are my disciples. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So here are these commands that Jesus is giving us, is saying, this is a display to the world that you love me. This is a display to the lost that you love Jesus and that you are his disciples. How? By loving God, by honoring him with your life, even though we fail daily in doing so. By loving our neighbor as ourselves, by loving one another in this congregation, in all of our differences, we are to love one another. And Jesus says, all men, by this, as you are loving one another, are going to know that you're his disciple. We are to live out these commands. It is by this that men will know that we are in a right relationship with Jesus. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God, what? Loves his brother also. These are commandments that are to be lived out. But it's not unaided. We are not left alone to live these commandments out. And we're going to see this. We're going to see the triune God is at work in the life of every believer, enabling us, strengthening us, encouraging us, admonishing us as we fail in doing these things, but equipping us into being able to love one another. Loving Christ is our main motivation in all of this. We know this. That we are to go into all the world and what, church? Make disciples. That's a command of Jesus. The main motivation in evangelism is the love for Christ. There should be a desire in the heart of every believer to make Christ known amongst those who are lost. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, beginning verse 18, Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you see here? The believer is not left unaided. Christ says, I will be with you. Christ says, I will do the work. It is something that I will do, Jesus says there in verse 14. It is Christ that ultimately does the work. But we know this, to love Christ is to obey his commands. Jesus there in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46, says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which has built his house. He dug deep. He laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There are two types of hearers, those who hear and those who do. Those who hear and those who do not do. Again, John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, by this we know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him. But does not keep his commandments, John says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There is a daily striving to keep Christ's commands. But again, church, this is not a means to please God. It is an expression of our love and our devotion to him. The keeping of Christ's commands is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us, abiding in us, and living in us. And that's what he expounds unto these disciples here in our verses before us this morning. They are not unaided. They're equipped. They're strengthened. They're encouraged by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we see that Christ is at work. And we see here in verse 16, Jesus says, and I will pray to the Father. So you have Christ is at work. He says, I will do it. Then Jesus says, and I will pray to the Father. Here, so the Son is at work. The Father's at work. And what is he going to pray to the Father? He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I'm sorry, on Wednesday night, I confess to our Bible study that I need reading glasses, and sometimes the words get too blurry. So Jesus says here, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. And then Jesus says, he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here the Holy Spirit is at work. We saw the Holy Spirit there in John chapter 1, verse 32, as John the Baptist said, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. Jesus, you know, he refers to the Holy Spirit as we saw there in his interaction with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was wondering, how can I be born again? How can I re-enter my mother's womb when I'm old? And what does Jesus tell him? It's like the Spirit. It blows from, the Spirit's like the wind. It blows from one direction to another. You don't see it, but how do you know it's moving? You see the effects of it. So here is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus there. Nicodemus didn't fully understand that. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and says, aren't you a teacher of Israel? Shouldn't you know these things? And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Jesus told his disciples there in John 6, verse 63, some of these superficial disciples, not true followers of Christ, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." And now here Jesus in this farewell discourse in the upper room is expounding to his disciples, his followers, declaring unto them that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is coming. And Jesus places emphasis on the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers. Here, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the King James says, Comforter. But the better rendering of that word is Helper, someone who comes alongside, someone who gives strength. It's not just someone that comforts you in your sadness or when you're down. Does the Holy Spirit do that? Yes. The Holy Spirit comforts you when you are sad, when you're down. But here, the main rendering of that word is someone who comes alongside, who strengthens, who bears you up. And so here in this upper room discourse, the function of the helper, as Jesus explains to his disciples, is someone who sustains and strengthens the disciples after Jesus' departure. He's not going to leave them alone. Here, Jesus is going to the cross, and they're going to feel almost orphaned. Jesus was their spiritual father. Now he's going to go and die on a cross, and they're going to feel like they're just left alone, almost fatherless. But Jesus says, "I am sending a helper, someone who's going to sustain you, someone who's going to strengthen you." In John 15, 26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, someone that was going to teach them, someone that was going to bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus had taught them, someone that was going to come alongside and make clear the things that they did not understand, kind of like Thomas and Philip. Here, these disciples here, Thomas didn't know where Jesus was going, didn't think that he knew the way. Philip said, "Jesus, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us," even though Jesus was there revealing the Father to them. The Holy Spirit was going to come and manifest and make these things clear to the disciples. In John 16, 7 through 11, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit comes and is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and bring judgment. That the Holy Spirit's going to guide the disciples into all truth and make known to them all the things that was to come. In John 16, verses 13 through 14, that the Holy Spirit was come and glorify Jesus. And Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper. Jesus was the first helper. The Spirit will continue to do the work that Jesus had begun through his disciples. And here, Jesus promises disciples that Spirit, that Helper, that he is with them currently, as we see there. He says there in verse 17, the latter part of it, he says, "But you know him, for he dwells with you." He is with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. He is with you. But then what does Jesus say? He's going to be in you. Here, the Holy Spirit is going to come and take up residence in those who believe. The Bible clearly states that we are now, true believers, are now temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple, and the Spirit abides in us. And Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will abide in them forever. They would no longer be separated by time or space. They were not going to be separated by death. They were going to be indwelt by the Spirit forever. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says, "For by one Spirit We are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free. We are all made to drink of one Spirit. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says we are to walk by the Spirit. And both of these metaphors depend on the constant presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as he governs and controls how we live. And so we go back up to those verses, and Jesus is telling his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. You and I can't do that, but the Spirit does. Christ perfectly fulfills all the will of the Father. The Father is satisfied in Christ. The Father is satisfied in what he does. And the work of the Holy Spirit continues this ministry of Christ. And he does that not just by being with us. He does that by being in us. And so, there in verse 8, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you also shall live. And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And again, he emphasizes keeping his commands again there in verse 21. He that has my commandments and what? Keeps them. He it is that loves me. This is the evidence that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you. There is this internal, intimate union with God the Father, God the Son, by the work of the Holy Spirit that is abiding in us. There's an internal, eternal, intimate union with the triune God as he is abiding in us. And he says, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And he says, I will make myself known unto him. You know, here Jesus, he refers to his disciples as his children there in John chapter 13, verse 33. Again, he's going to the cross. He's giving his life for all who believe. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is going to be atoning for sacrifice for sins forever. And the disciples felt like they were going to be void of Christ. They were going to be left alone. They were going to be like children without their spiritual father. But yet Jesus declares to them, I will not leave you orphans. Christ is going to be resurrected. And here all the hopes of these disciples that were dashed at the cross will be resurrected with Christ Jesus. Christ is returning to the Father. The world will no longer see Jesus' physical presence on this earth. But what does Jesus claim, declare to his disciples here? Yet a little while and the world sees me no more. He's going away. He's returning to the Father. He says, but you see me. Because I live, you also shall live. How do the disciples see Jesus? The Holy Spirit makes him known and makes him real in our life every day. We see Christ with our spiritual eyes by the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. In John chapter 1, again, verses 1 through 4, John wrote, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. Eternal life, true life, that these disciples had with Christ and him alone. He says, you will live because I live. Jesus says there in John chapter 14, and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because Christ lives, all those who are in Christ will live as well. Troubled hearts are comforted by these truths. Church, Christ is coming again. We will see him not only with spiritual eyes, but our physical eyes, our faith will become sight. Here, in our seemingly hopeless moments in life, our troubled hearts are comforted in the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. And Christ, to his disciples, said, "In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." In that day, what day is that? When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and opened their eyes, and they were made to understand all of these truths that Jesus had declared about himself, the Holy Spirit and his ministry made known to the disciples, all of these abiding truths that are theirs forever. And for you as well, church, these truths for those who are in Christ hold true today. And may your hearts be comforted as the Holy Spirit is making these truths known in your lives as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, help us in our everyday walk. Father, as you have called us to keep your commands, to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we know we fail on this on a daily basis, but that's not an excuse to continue to strive and to live and to honor Christ with our life. I pray that we are a church that has this testimony amongst our community, that we are a group of people that love one another, and by this shall our community know that we are your disciples. Father, manifest yourself to us, make your plan and your will known, and I pray that we would be faithful and obedient in living a life that would glorify and honor and extol the name of Christ, and may his name be praised forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.